It's time for the Apple Watchcast. The first beta of watchOS 5 is actually bricking some watches. Apple being sued over broken watch displays. Alexa on the Apple Watch? Well, sort of. A new patent for a blood pressure watch band and a rundown of all the new OS 5 features. Reviews of Captain Cook recipes, sales tax and discounts app, and Jazz Sport watch band, and a whole lot more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. The Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as $1 a month, you can help us keep producing this show and get a little something extra in return, like access to bonus episodes, Apple Watchcast gear, and even be a guest on the show. So check out our page at patreon.com/Apple Watchcast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 240, recorded Monday, June 11th, 2018. A bouncier buggy beta.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. And also joining us is Chris. Great to have you here, Chris.
Thanks, Tom. Hi, Vincent.
Are you in Tennessee?
Yes, okay. I leave in the morning.
Okay, so everybody's home. Where are you headed to this time?
Back to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Back to Pennsylvania. You've been doing that trip a couple of times here, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. That's nice. It's a nice place to travel. You know, it's kind of old school United States.
Yeah. I kind of hate this time of year because we get to hear of all the great things coming with the recent Worldwide Developers Conference, but now we have to wait before we can get anything. And we've learned,
yes, very true.
Since then, this was last week, we've learned a few more things since last week's keynote, at least a few more details on some of the new features that are coming. And we also have some interesting rumors on the Apple Watch Series 4, which is expected later this year. So that's kind of coming into focus just a little bit more, but we'll get into some of that with the when we get into the news. Is there anything else you guys want to mention before we move forward?
Nope.
Only that some of the rumors are kind of neat.
They are. We'll talk about that. Why wait around? Here we go.
The Apple Watchcast News.
All right, time for the news. And as always, I'm going to take this in chronological order of the week. And we started the week out with right after the Worldwide Developers Conference, all these betas are available for developers. Well, there's a little problem with the watchOS 5 beta. The first one was apparently bricking some Apple Watches. So they pulled it pretty quickly. I don't know how long it was out there. I don't think it was out there very long. But apparently, the implication is that it was locking up during installation, and it locked up so completely that you might need to go to Apple to get them to fix it. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was a pretty bad bug. And from what I've heard, it was actually, I think, mainly bricking Series 2 Apple Watches. Mm-hmm. So, and on the heels of that, today we heard that Apple has released an update of the beta that hopefully does not brick anything. that not only fixes that bug, but is the actual beta that everybody's been waiting for. The developers.
Yes, did they release the beta at the conference?
It was released that day, yes, I do believe.
Mm. So it probably didn't take very long.
No, it was usually available, right after the keynote, right? Aren't these usually?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So people are walking up probably an hour later saying, hey, you got a problem.
Yeah. Now, unfortunately, this is only available to developers. There's never been and probably never will be a public beta program for the Apple Watch because there's no way to downgrade the Apple Watch software. I guess that's the reasoning or logic behind it. So, excuse me. Wow, losing my voice already. Wow, record time. Now, this update works on Series 1, Series 2, Series 3, all models except for Series 0. And I think, according to this article here, and I think it's true, they're saying that it's likely due to performance and battery issues as to why. And we kind of speculated that why the Series 0 is not cannot run WatchOS 5.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I wonder if anybody tried.
It probably wouldn't even give them the option, right? You know, even you go to choose your update, it probably said, you're 0. No, you don't get anything.
Right.
Well, Vincent, you can try in about 3 months, I guess.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Why don't we show up? Yeah.
Yeah, I should try in mine, too. I've got one, too, that's going to be...
That's right, you do.
...obsolete. And speaking of obsolete... I had to mark this article because I've seen this. I saw this over and over and over after the keynote, but we never really talked too much about it. But the fact is that WatchOS 5 makes all beta or zero series watches kind of obsolete, including the $10,000 edition.
Right.
And so now those ran from anywhere from $10,000 up to $17,000. Mm-hmm. And you know, several, we saw all the stories, the guy who bought two for his dog and all that kind of stuff. A lot of celebrities had them. But this was an article from Cult of Mac. And they said, like expensive gold-plated iPhones, it was more a show of opulence than something that's supposed to have lasting value. And I think that's true. But they couldn't resist to calculate it out. So the cheapest version of the edition, which was $10,000... By their calculation, it works out to about $3,333 per year, or a little over $9 a day. So the question is whether that was worth it. I guess for some people it was. You know, money is all relative, right? I mean, but
right.
But those are going to be
that makes our watch or Vincent's watch about $1 a day.
Maybe less. I would encourage anybody out there who has an Apple Watch edition, if you'd like to donate it to the Apple Watch Cast, we will take care of it for you, because I know you can't use it anymore, but we'll get some use out of it. We'll test it with every update software that comes out.
You know, the price of gold is like $1,300, so you know, if it's a few ounces.
Yeah, they'll get something for it. But I think at this point, it's worth more as a collector's item, is it not?
Yeah.
Like the first Mac, just the first iPhone. Those kind of become collector's item over time.
Define obsolete. I mean, true. You still use it for...
Exactly. Just don't update it.
Yeah, well, yeah. You can't update it. So but does it just stay at stays at this version, right?
Sure. Yeah. Just like
It'll still tell time very well.
It will run perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, just like you have an older Mac that gets stuck at a certain OS, it's still very functional for a lot of different things. It's still a great looking watch.
Right. It's pretty much up until the apps stop supporting the OS. Mm-hmm.
True, but the apps that you have from Apple kind of make it still very functional. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So anyway, actually, you know what? This might be more of a collector's item than the iPhone or the first Mac, because it probably didn't make nearly as many of these.
Very true.
Right?
True.
It's very few. This is probably the least amount of any particular Apple product they ever made, other than the 10th anniversary Mac. Mm-hmm. I think they only made a select number of those. In fact, they probably made less of these watches than that. But anyway.
Probably.
Yep. So, yeah, you're right.
Do they still make the ceramic? Is that still the most expensive one now?
Yeah, what is that, like $1,200?
It's $1,200, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Much more affordable by comparison. And actually, I think it looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. I love that watch. I love the look of it.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Okay, what else is going on this week? Oh, man. A 6-count class action has been filed against Apple for what they're calling Apple Watch defect, which causes displays to pop, crack, or shatter. Mm-hmm. This gentleman in Colorado has filed this class action against Apple. He did this on June 4th in San Jose, California, seeking $5 million for their refusal to acknowledge a common complaint about every edition of the Apple Watch. So according to the plaintiff, the watches all contain the same defect and or flaw, which causes the screens on the watches to crack, shatter, or detach from the body of the watch through no fault of the wearer, oftentimes only days or weeks after purchase. What do you think of this?
Yeah. Well, it's another... I mean, they've been replacing them all, right? Mm-hmm. But
how many of those were from swollen batteries versus what they're talking about here?
Right. It's a quote-unquote defect. I'm not quite sure what... They don't talk about the cause. They just say the actual result.
Yeah.
Well, there it is. It says, persistently denied, acknowledged a swelling battery defect in certain Series 0 watches.
And they extended the limited warranty on
that. That's considered an acknowledgement, okay? So,
but that's not an acknowledgement that it was a defect that they knew about.
Okay.
A swollen battery is a different issue to me.
Yeah.
Than something that spontaneously breaks. The battery thing you understand. That happens to phones. That happens to, there's a percentage of all the phones made or anything with a lithium battery that will do that. That's just the nature of the physics, right? I mean, those types of batteries. But I have a question about this. I wonder if this class action will reveal for the first time the number of Apple Watches actually sold. Because if they claim it's a widespread issue, they would need those numbers to prove it, wouldn't they?
You would.
For the percentage, they'd have to know.
And if it was a widespread issue, it would it'd just be more in the public, just overall.
Yeah, it would. But I still think if you took how many, I mean, they have records, how many were brought in or how many broke, right? Compare that to the percentage of how many watches were sold, I think you could prove right there it's not a known defect.
That's
that
low
it's a very low percentage. And you could probably put that up against any product and say that's just the norm.
The lawyers will get $4.8 million and the plaintiffs will get $200,000 to split a million ways.
Yeah, maybe. But I still think what might come out of this through discovery or whatever might be those numbers. That's not good news for Apple because I know they want to keep that quiet. But I would...
Maybe that's why the guy's doing it. He wants to get the numbers.
It could be. I would love to know.
I'm not reporting it.
Yeah, I would love to know. But I guess we'll stay tuned on that one.
Hey, we might all get $5. Oh yeah, or some discount.
Have you ever gotten anything from any of those?
Yes.
Like a few bucks here and there.
Yeah, but
I got a new set of tires for my car.
Oh, okay, there you go.
No, I mean I from Apple though.
Oh, not from Apple, no.
Yeah, they've had other things.
I've been part of a class action lawsuit that actually came to fruition.
Well, that's different. But I just meant like Apple stuff.
No, not from Apple.
Because I think I
thought that should be
involved in one, or they sent me something where I could be a part of it if I signed this and sent it backward. I never did. It's like, no, I'm not having the issue, and I don't think it's a problem. So,
well, $5 million isn't very much, though.
No, you're not. You're going to get like a dollar.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's why he's just trying to get. He's just trying to do something to Apple. He's just mad at him.
Yeah, I think so. Just give him a new watch, and he'll be happy. Yeah, make it go away. I would love to see the numbers, because I really don't think it was a wide... spread issue. If you could sort out the ones that were from swollen batteries versus those that just popped off, right? But I think the bigger issue is they're saying Apple knew about it before they even released these devices, and that's a lot harder to prove, I think.
If you're going to sue, maybe someone has, we haven't talked about it. If you're going to sue over that throttling of speed issue on the iPhone.
Yeah,
they knew about that, right? And they kept it from millions of phones, so who knows, that might be a bigger thing.
Do you really think Apple is stupid enough to see this defect and say, go ahead and release anyway? No.
Exactly.
Of course not. No. They've delayed products. Look at the AirPower Mat thing. Good God.
Maybe that thing's swelling up.
Yeah, maybe it is, and they're not releasing it because of that. I mean, they delay stuff because it's not right. So I don't know. We'll see. Mm-hmm. If anybody has an opinion on this, send us an email, comments@applewatchcast.com. Maybe you had yours. Maybe you were one of those people that had a break early on, not from a battery. So let us know.
Yeah. My mother-in-law has popped off. So, yeah. She got a Series 1 for it.
Oh, that's nice.
I remember. Yeah. You sent us a picture of that.
They updated it for her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a lot early on. But this thing claims it's every watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay. Enough of this. Moving on. What else happened this week? Oh, this, now you may want to hurry and take advantage of this if you're interested, because it may not be around for long. There's now a third-party app that lets you run Alexa on your Apple Watch from a complication.
Why?
I don't know. It's called Voice in a Can.
Okay.
Because they need to record what you're saying on Alexa so they can sell you more products. They're missing out on that market, the Apple Watch market.
Maybe. It's boy, I got to think Apple's going to shut this down. But what it does bring Alexa to your Apple Watch, your iPhone, and your iPad, and it works on the watch standalone without needing your phone. So that's interesting. It says when the screen goes blank on your watch, it disconnects from the Alexa service. So they recommend increasing the app timeout on your watch. Also, they said the best results will be obtained when your watch is operating without your phone nearby, because then it will connect directly to the internet and not use your phone to connect. So it's actually a complication that you put on your watch. Now, it has the same third-party app limitations. So you cannot use it for things like music, podcasts, and phone calls, but it can let you control non-HomeKit smart home devices. So for a lot of people, this app is $1.99. That alone is worth it, right?
Hmm.
To be able to do that. That's an interesting thing to think about. I got to believe this is not going to be around for long.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with all the improvements in Siri. Yeah, coming up. So anyway, very interesting. What a name. Voice in a Can. What? Why? try to slip it by. You know, if they use the word Alexa in there, they might not have gotten approval. I don't know.
Yeah.
It got approved.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Okay, moving on. Okay, we've mentioned this in the past, but apparently it's now become, I think they've been, a patent's been given. Apple, this is for a blood pressure cuff that might actually be a new Apple Watch band. We mentioned this before. Actually, I think we initially speculated that they needed to do, this was one of our Apple craps, I think, at one time or something. But
I think so.
It's something we had said is, sounds like a natural thing to do. And it looks like Apple is indeed pursuing it, at least from a patent standpoint. So to quote this, it says the system may be located on a wearable or mobile device, while the controller may be located on the same device or a separate device, for example, a computer or a separate wearable or mobile device. In one example, the system may be located on a wrist-worn device, like a watch, wristband, or bracelet. The system may be in a separate module that is attached by a user to a wearable or mobile device. So it's basically, it's a watch band that would tighten up and become a blood pressure cuff, which means it would probably have to tap into that port on the Apple Watch for power, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Does it have to be, this is going to be a dumb question, but does it have to be in a different place on your arm, or can it do it from the wrist?
Well, obviously it would have to do it from the wrist. The drawing in the figure for the patent shows it on a wrist.
Mm-hmm.
So they must have figured out how to do that.
Well, there it is. Yeah, it's on the wrist. Yeah. I'll be darned.
Yeah.
I have blood pressure monitors that work on the wrist, but they're huge.
Okay. Well, maybe they've figured it out. But very interesting. You know, because Apple has been moving further and further into healthcare and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, going beyond just counting steps and your heart rate and activity, this would be a nice next step. Non-invasive.
It'd be neat too if they can Bluetooth it, like when you walk in, because that's always the first thing your doctor does, right? A nurse practitioner or someone takes your weight and your blood pressure. Mm-hmm. If you could do this, you can just Bluetooth it to them
when you
walk in the office.
Or you don't even have to do that. It would monitor it and automatically send the data to your doctor all the time. If you know, that's true too. Through their app or whatever.
Yeah, if you know your appointments that day or that morning, it would maybe download too as well as and send it over.
Right.
So yeah, that's pretty cool.
So anyway, look for that possibly down the road. Don't think we'll see it this year in the Apple Watch, but
as long as it doesn't go off when I'm driving,
I think you kind of have to do it yourself.
Okay, what's the over under on blood pressure cuff comes before the wireless powering?
Wireless powering first.
Wireless powering of what?
Oh, the new the iPad the
Air Power
Apple Wireless Power.
Oh, the air the power Air Power mat thingy.
Air Power, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they're releasing the same day, which is about 2 years from now.
Well, hey, you know, if you use the blood pressure cuff as a way to charge your watch as well.
There you go.
Yeah, 2-in-1.
There you go. Perfect. See, they don't need that Air Power mat. Let's see what else is going on. This just popped up a couple days ago, and everybody's talking about this one. The Apple Watch, they're speculating, this comes to us from Fast Company, will possibly get touch-sensitive solid-state buttons. So actually, do we believe this? The idea here is that the side button would look like a button, but just like on the iPhone, the previous version of the iPhone, like I think it was 7, isn't an actual physical button, but the haptic feedback would make you think you're clicking it based on the touch of your finger. So it's still going to have a button. It's still going to have a digital crown, but neither one will be a physical click.
Yeah, it's like the iPod.
So they're going to put a screen on the side that small on the end of that crown that will be a screen for touch. But they're saying that the digital crown would still turn, right, to rotate through or navigate through content, right? But the actual pressure from the taptic engine would make you think you're pushing a button. Kind of makes sense that they would then be, it would be more waterproof, right? Because now you've sealed two holes in the watch completely. And then the other thing they're saying that it may actually give them a little bit more space inside for a bigger battery or whatever. I don't know how much room you're actually going to gain from that. But, you know, the MacBooks, the trackpads have had this for a while. The old iPod control wheels went from moving parts to solid state, right? So there's a history of this, which I guess we shouldn't be too surprised. What do you think of this?
I like it. I think they're going to do the same thing on the phone.
Well, they did, right?
Well, the side buttons, the rockers and stuff like
that. Oh, yeah. Completely go to that. Because that's what this would be. It's a side button. Obviously, I don't think this is coming out this fall, right?
Yeah.
That's not going to happen in maybe 2019, but.
Yeah, I think it's something none of us predicted in all our predictions. Yeah. Because I guess we didn't think about that part of the hardware. But I've read one of the three or four things I read about this feature that they were thinking about for this fall, but I just can't see them getting it done.
Yeah, I don't know that they're going to be able to that quickly.
Yeah.
Because that's, man, that's fast. And I haven't seen any. Did we see any patents for this along the way?
We haven't discussed a patent this.
Yeah, so
I don't believe.
Don't know that one came out for it, but anyway.
Yeah.
So the other part of this that makes sense is they may use the top of these buttons as sensors to gather more health-related data, like heart rhythms. Some of these measurements require more than one point of contact with your skin. So there you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Top of your wrist, touch the button. Now you've completed the circuit.
So I just want to put the screen up against your forehead and you measure your temperature.
Wait, can
stick
I
in your ear.
Can I do that now with my hand? Right? So we'll see where that goes. Very interesting. Although, you know, the only problem I have with this right now, do you guys have a problem with the side button? You know, if you hold it in too long, you call 911, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do.
So I mean, how is that going to be when it's no longer an actual click, but I may accidentally touch it too long? I mean, They may have to change that.
And then it turned into a shock. And when you get the shock, you let go.
Yeah, they may have to change that, is what I'm saying. Where that feature is in the software, because that's just too easy to set off accidentally. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to control right now with an actual button. So I don't know. We do a lot with that, right? We double click for a lot of things on the watch to pay for stuff and all that.
Mm-hmm. We hadn't seen anything, of course, it's only been a week, but anything related to the watchOS 5 changing that function of the 911.
No, which means this may not be for this version of the watch, although it'd be kind of interesting. So as I mentioned at the top of the show, we're kind of getting a clearer picture of what the Series 4 might be. 15% larger screen has been rumored. Haptic buttons now for the side and crown, possibly longer battery life, faster processors. Is that going to be good enough to make a switch from the Series 3? Just those features, if it came with all those?
Yeah, I see that. I mean, considering if it's slimmer and these changes, if it does get into the Series 4, will regain a lot of the kind of analog space that is required for the gears and such.
Okay.
I mean, you know, right. I mean, you could put a whole nother chip in there for like the mm-hmm. water rejection thing if you're plugging up all the holes and all the places they can get in, all the gaskets they built.
So replace it with a compass chip. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, something.
Okay. Yeah, interesting. It's very interesting. Which makes me think that the look of the new of this watch may be slightly different. It may not just be a bigger screen.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It does change a lot of things. I mean, the iPod got a lot thinner with solid state stuff, you know, and the touchscreen wheel didn't have to come off. And so, yeah, you can get a lot thinner and a lot sleeker.
Yeah. If one thing we've learned about Apple is they're kind of obsessed with making things thinner and smaller, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that goes across every device.
That's one thing they haven't done, though, right? So far has made it thinner. So that could be something they're focusing on.
In fact, on one version, they actually made it slightly thicker, didn't they?
Yeah, this version, I think it's millimeters.
But just barely, but yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We'll keep an eye on that. So yeah, I mean, I've been kind of wondering or speculating, what is it that they're going to do that's going to make me want to jump from the watch I use now, which I love, and don't really have any complaints, you know, some software issues, but hardware-wise, I don't have any real complaints for it, going to make me want to jump, you know.
10,000 nits.
Okay. Just shut up and take my money.
2 or 3 day battery life. Maybe something like that might do that.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if they could get that far.
Yeah, I agree. But still, you know, you take your watch off to sleep, why not put it on a charger? No big deal, right?
Right. Yeah. Anyway,
I agree. I mean, the jump between 2 and 3 with the cellular was huge, and the Wi-Fi, and I think that from 3 to 4, it may just be another kind of evolution versus revolution, unless they do like a round watch.
Right, but I mean, again, I gotta wonder, for some people, is a bigger screen is a little bit faster, and the buttons are still, a lot of the stuff people aren't really going to be.
Yeah, I'll probably buy it.
I mean, I probably will. I'm not saying I won't. In fact, I'll probably buy anything they come out with. But I'm just saying, for the majority of people, I've yet to hear that one have to have it feature, right? Mm-hmm. And usually there's something where, you know, obviously with the current version, it's the cellular. The version before it was the waterproof, right? Going, you know, it's just there's always going to be something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But we'll see. It looks like the major things we were looking for are software related, like the podcast app. Right. Right. That's software, not hardware.
Walkie-talkie.
You know, things we were looking for.
Yeah. See, walkie-talkie might have been one of those things that could sell more watches if it was only on the Series 4.
Mm-hmm.
That could sell a lot more Series 4 watches, but no, they didn't do that.
I'm not going to get that, am I? That sucks.
Oh, no, you're not. No, you're not. And my older watch is not going to have that ability either. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Save it. It's a collector's item. Not as much as the edition, but it's still a collector's item. Okay, what else here? Oh, I just want to go through this because this was mentioned by one of our listeners. And for some reason, during the keynote, maybe I was typing something on Twitter, whatever, I missed this part of it. And I know we mentioned it last week, but in the keynote itself, I missed it. I had to go back and watch it to actually see them mention it, and Kevin did mention it, was the idea about customizing Control Center. And it was one of those things that he had 50 things behind him listed, and one of them was highlighted, and that was the first one. Well, 9 to 5 Mac is actually let you know, there's no video here. Well, actually, there might be a video. Yeah, down at the bottom here. How you actually do this. How do you customize that Control Center? So what you do is you swipe up from the bottom of the screen from any app, scroll all the way to the bottom, and tap the Edit button. Then you tap and hold and drag the icon you'd like to move and place it wherever you'd like. That sounds very familiar. You repeat this until you're satisfied with your layout. Once complete, you tap the Done button or press the Digital Crown. That's exactly how it should work. Just to let you know, that is exactly how I pictured it and why I was so frustrated that they hadn't done it.
Well, I think you only can use the icons that are there right now, so you can't really add or subtract from the list, right? You just move around.
Right, and that is one thing that someone had mentioned, that they wish they had the ability to delete some. If you don't use them at all.
I hide them.
But you know what? Right now, I'm more than happy. I can just move the ones I use right to the top.
Agree.
Right to the top. So that's very nice.
I still want the Siri activation, though, of some of that things there.
Well, I have to wonder with this Siri shortcuts. You think we'll be able to get any of those? I don't know. Maybe not.
I don't know. Maybe I'll use that Alexa app and see if that'll do it.
Yeah, ask Alexa if she can do a Siri shortcut for you. boy, the response you get out of that might be interesting. And then the last thing I want to talk about is, this is from Apple Insider, and they just did a breakdown, and we do this every time there's an event. We go through the actual event, and then the next week we kind of go into a little more detail, but they've listed, and I didn't realize there was this many, that there's over 65 new features in watchOS 5. 65.
Yes.
Now, a lot of them are little tiny stuff, but that's a lot of features. So we can kind of just kind of go through some of this. Obviously, they start with the watch faces, the smarter Siri watch face, and the new data sources for the Siri watch, which, man, this is a long list. Let me see if I can get through it. Activity, alarms, breathe, calendar, favorite, teams, health, heart rate, home, in-call service, mail, messages, music, news, notes, now playing, photos, podcasts, reminders, stocks, stopwatch, timer, wallet, weather, and workout. You're going to be scrolling forever if you put all these in there, right? Now, I know some of these are time-based, right? They only pop up at certain times, but that's a lot of... And then this doesn't include the next one, which is that it now supports third-party apps. So that list is going to get insane, depending on how many third-party apps you use that tap into this. So... new color.
You know,
go ahead.
Speaking of the Siri watch face, the one thing that I've noticed that I don't like about it is that you don't have time travel, and it doesn't let you fast forward, right? All the appointments that are coming up. So I'll have to switch over to the other complications to see it.
What you need to do is set up another watch face that has that and just swipe over and quickly. Yeah. Oh. So you start doing combinations here of different things.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
I think you do that too, don't you, Vincent? Don't you have a couple and you swipe back and forth?
It's a side one.
Right? Yeah, that way you can get
watch faces.
Make it a little more powerful. Mm-hmm. Actually, you could set up two. Couldn't you set up two different smart Siri watch faces with different complications in them and just swap between them?
I've never done that.
I bet you could.
I didn't know you could do that.
I bet you could. Well, you set up another. Try it.
Okay.
Let us know. I don't know why it's just occurring to me now. I've never tried it. We should know this, but
I'm trying to think if you can or not. You just have to.
You only have
added a second time and then customize it.
Right. Just like you do any other watch face, right?
Okay. You
can do that. I can have multiple faces of anything with different complications on them, but maybe Siri watch face is different.
Maybe.
All right, let's continue down the list. New color scheme, gray for the Siri watch face. That's not a color, it's gray.
Someone that really likes gray, you just insulted them.
I'm sorry. But you say color scheme, I think of more than one color. I guess gray and black technically is a color scheme, but Come on.
By the way, yes, you can add more than one series. You can add more than one Siri watch face.
There you go.
And customize them both.
There you go, Vincent.
Why would you want to do that?
So you don't have to scroll quite as far. You can just swipe over.
It looks like you can add a couple complications to it, the new version. Yeah. So maybe you want more complications.
Well, hey, in WatchOS 5, one can be gray and one can be black. Right? Depends, match what you're wearing.
We have mauve.
Okay, we're never going to get through this list.
Off-white.
Solar watch face supports two complications now. Good, because that was looking kind of bare, wasn't it?
It did. The one complication is just not good.
Not as useful, yeah. Memories in the photo face. Podcast complication, of course, because the next one here is a new podcast app. Oh, my goodness. Control playback on the iPhone from the Apple Watch. Now, the podcast app, when I went back and listened to the keynote again, Kevin specifically said that you could stream the podcasts.
I was going to say that too. I confirmed that also.
Yes, which I did not catch the first time around because I had that question.
Yeah, we talked about last week. We asked ourselves, and I went back and checked, and I was going to say that. You can stream it.
Yes, so the gospel according to Kevin is you can. All right. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. So if you run across, there's a new podcast release, like, I don't know, the Apple Watchcast, we come out with a new show. You want to listen to it. You don't have your phone with you. You can still do that if you have the cellular version of the watch and WatchOS 5. Okay. What else? Weather. You can add city on the watch. What does that mean? You can add city on the watch.
You can do it on your phone. You can add a city to the list. You couldn't do it on the watch. Add or subtract cities.
I don't have to go to the phone to do it. Right.
Correct. Yeah.
The app
is much more independent now than it used to be.
Well, wow. Okay, here we go. Does that mean that they're setting us up for a totally independent watch here just a little bit at a time?
Yeah.
Chipping away at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, the stocks app is so good, you know, you can disconnect it all the way now. That was a bad joke. But.
Well, actually, you can add stocks from the watch.
Yes, you can.
That's a new thing. Again, this is all making it less and less diving in your pocket to pull out your phone, right? So why not?
The wind speed metric looked great. The wind direction metric. Those are kind of cool. And you can tap the face now instead of force touch to change the metric.
You can scroll to view a 10-day forecast.
Yeah.
You have air quality metric. That just Sherlocked a couple apps. You reviewed.
I'm surprised they haven't Sherlocked Dark Sky yet. That's pretty amazing, actually.
But you reviewed you reviewed an air quality app, Vincent.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that just got Sherlocked. UV index metric as well. So there's a lot of weather stuff. Let's get into the clock. We said add cities from the watch. Remove cities by force touching. Okay, well, that makes sense. You can add, you can delete. Again, less stuff to go to your phone for. Adding stocks. You can force touch to remove stocks as well. Messages. New category organizers for emoji. Is that important? I guess it is.
It is to certain people.
Just in groups. Grouping.
Huh? Grouping. Okay. Yeah. There's a new user interface for dictation, scribble, emoji, sticker picker. Be careful how you say that. Digital touch and Apple Pay. Okay. Walkie-talkie. That's a whole new app. Wallet. Student ID now is in wallet. And FaceTime. You can answer FaceTime calls or group FaceTime calls has audio on the watch.
That was pretty. It's a nice touch.
Yeah, that communication part of it was pretty big. Now, here's the biggest.
And you can throw it back to your phone, right? Can't you answer it and then throw it back to your phone to do full FaceTime?
I think you can. We'll find out for sure. And then here's.
I thought I saw that.
Okay. Maybe you can. This is the biggest category here, workouts. And again, let's go through the list. We got the auto start workout reminder, the auto stop workout reminder, retroactive workout credit, the new yoga workout, new hiking, pace measuring while running, pace alerts while running, the rolling milestones, cadence while running. That's a lot of running stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Too bad I don't use the workout app to run. Most people, I think, use a third-party app. Maybe this is Apple trying to get you to use theirs, right? oval-shaped buttons. What?
What?
Yeah, that's just the buttons on the workout itself. When you swipe left, and you got like
okay,
what's on there? Stop, pause, those buttons.
Why?
Oval? They're a little oval instead of round or something. It's like okay. Nothing, not just a big change.
To be different, I guess.
Yes, and they counted as a bullet point.
The what?
It's counted as a bullet point or counted as a change, I guess.
It's a change. Challenges for friends and family.
We're going to do that one. So we have to have challenges amongst our viewers, our listeners.
Yes, we do. I can't wait for that. Personalized coaching during challenges and an improved API. Okay. Activity, new awards tab on iPhone. What does that mean? On your iPhone.
Yeah, on your iPhone, there's awards there. I think they're either new awards that go with
the new tab activity for the new stuff. Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah, okay. Or awards you can do in your challenges.
Right. Flights climbed. Why did it take this long? Why did it take this long to do that?
On the watch. On the phone, I think you already have that, right?
Again, but why not on the watch from day one? I don't know. I don't know. Slightly new user interface for activity.
Slightly new? Is that like a used car?
It's a darker background. It's a used interface.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They got it cheap. It's a used interface. Didn't have very many miles on it. Settings. There's a new Wi-Fi category. Yay.
That's cool.
Choose Wi-Fi network. Nice.
Yep.
Wake screen on crown up toggle under wake screen settings. Oh, so you can just toggle it with the crown?
Mm-hmm.
To say, okay. Do not disturb features in iOS 12 show after giving calendar permission. Okay. Website data section. And clear website data. Okay. So you can see the data that... Okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Man, you don't need your phone for anything anymore.
Yeah. I was just thinking, like, if you're choosing your own Wi-Fi network, does it affect your watch as well, which network it's on? I mean, your phone?
I don't know.
Because if it's independent,
yeah,
that's weird.
That you could, they could both be on the
different... I guess you could have two different networks, Vincent.
Yeah, because like if your watch, you'd be on like your work guest network and your phone is actually an approved device.
Or does it switch it on the phone as well?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's to change it on both.
Because they kind of need to be in sync still, don't they?
Or maybe not.
Maybe not. We'll find out. what else? Oh, I love this one. Raise to speak to Siri. Mm-hmm. That's like one of those duh things that you feel like, of course, it makes sense. Voice feedback for Siri on, control with silent mode, headphones only. Okay, so you can set all those things on the watch now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Control the Siri volume, Siri voice text, start a workout reminder, stop a workout reminder. And then I love this one, less regulatory info. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then last category here is system. Gradient and animation when opening notifications. Ooh, I haven't seen this yet. I don't know what
I
that
saw
looks
it.
Like. Did you see it?
Yeah, basically what it is when you pull down notifications now, it's black all the way.
Yeah.
This kind of slowly goes from gray to black
as
you pull it down.
Does that slow it down?
No. It actually says it speeds it up.
Okay. Grouped notifications. Notification instant tuning. What is that? Instant tuning.
I guess that's the one where it's trying to keep you from having to get so many notifications, and it just kind of adjust the amount so that it doesn't bother you so much.
So it says improved notifications where they do more reply in notifications, check in, change reservations, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're improved is the information you're getting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And this is a great one. Notifications in Control Center are bouncier.
Thank you very much.
They're bouncier. So what does that mean?
Well, see, some of these, Tom, that's how you get to 65, right?
I guess.
I was watching the video, and he was saying, they look bouncier. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll take his word for it.
So wait. This new beta that you're seeing this in, at first it was buggy. So now it's a bouncier buggy beta? Is that what we have now?
Sounds like a show. Obviously, he didn't say anything about the bad buggy.
I was going to say, how many B words can we get in this thing? That's all I can think of at the moment. Okay.
You went to the best non-buggy beta.
Wow. Background audio API. Yeah, he mentioned that you can play background music. How does that work?
Wow. Yeah, how's it going to work?
So apps can play background music, and you can still leave the app and do other things, and the music keeps playing. Is that right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Is that how that works? I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. That's like having 20 tabs open in Safari and one of them's making noise and you don't know which one.
just use Siri to figure it out.
Yeah. Parkinson's Research API. That's awesome. Editable Control Center. Talked about that. Support for Siri shortcuts created in iOS. View websites on Apple Watch. Raise to speak. Siri, we already had that one. That's a lot.
That's so weird how like the view websites on Apple Watch is such an understatement.
Yeah.
Like it was a big freaking deal when like everyone was like, oh, I can't look at websites on my watch. I'm like, really? And people tried hacking it, doing all this sorts of things. Now they brought it to the Apple Watch. I'm like, okay, well, whatever.
Well, you remember way back when in the dark ages when the first iPhone came out, how amazing it was to actually see a website on a phone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like a knockdown light version. It was the full website.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that was amazing back then, and now we have it on the watch, sort of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sort of. I can't imagine for web developers what other version or responsive design you have to plug in now. It's a whole other library.
Well, I guess the APIs, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure how that's going to work. Anyway, okay. Anything else in the news this week? I think we more than covered it, right?
Yeah,
that's
great.
That's a lot.
All right, time to move on. Here we go.
The Apple Watchcast app reviews.
All right, time for app reviews. I like the name of yours, Vincent. Why don't you go first?
Okay, Captain.
You're supposed to say aye aye, Captain.
All right. Aye aye, exactly. The app I'm reviewing is called Captain Cook. And that's KPTN Cook recipes. Kind of tough to find on the Apple Store. Let me see here. I've been trying to eat a little healthier, and because I haven't had much chance to exercise and stuff. So I started eating vegetarian like a little bit at the end of last year, around August.
Great. Wow.
And so, just more vegetarian centric. So I've been looking up some recipes and some apps and stuff like that.
It's tough.
Yeah. Everybody wants to try to make vegetarian food look like meat, which is kind of weird. But anyway.
Yeah, they do.
I'm looking for this app and I came across this one and it's pretty interesting. They offer 3 daily recipes. And so kind of just push to your phone. And it kind of presents it like flipboard. So you flip through the 3, and every 24 hours you get 3 new recipes. And today's is a grilled cheese with tomato, apricot pesto, a creamy spinach dish, a jackfruit satay with rice noodles. So 3 of those are fantastic. All 3 vegetarian, which is surprising. Each recipe comes with, once you drill in, has the list of the recipe, including listed in a kind of a shopping list format. And then it shows you the stores that are nearby that have those ingredients and the prices associated with those stores. So for me, it has like Safeway and Whole Foods and Trader Joe's. I mean, obviously there's more supermarkets around here, but since this is a German developer, I guess it's because it's the folks that they have around here listed. But what's cool is if you adjust like the number of servings, the price and the amount of ingredients adjusts automatically for you. Mm. That's really cool. What's awesome is in terms of recipe apps, as I've never seen this before, is if you turn the phone sideways, it becomes like a full screen picture with like just the small instructions. So you can, you know, just swipe to get to the next step. And so it's really well done in terms of just nice photography. So this step one, and you just swipe step two and swipe. So I thought that was really nice, very unique way of kind of presenting the steps of a recipe instead of reading through it when you're trying to, in the middle of cooking. Like I said, the photographs are really nice. They step you through each one of those things. So the intent is for you to kind of favorite your recipes. So you kind of build kind of a library of them, of the three that they send you. There's also another section with sponsored specials, some from their local grocery stores. The ones that are sponsored are not here in the States. But on the watch, you get the same three recipes that come in. And on there, all you can do, you can see the nice picture, is click on add to favorites. And once you do that, then it shows up on your phone.
I wish it was step by step on the watch.
Yeah, they could totally do that. I mean, because that would be really helpful, not having your phone around on the counter and going through the things. And these are really simple recipes, considering, and very quick to make. They're all under 20 minutes or something like that. 20, 30 minutes on each of these. But I tried like syncing from my if I favored it on my phone, it doesn't show up as favorited on my watch. But if you favor it on your watch, it shows up on your phone. So this is some syncing issues there. And overall, I mean, they don't. It's a free app. I guess it's sponsored by their sponsors and their advertisers. And then on iTunes, it says there are in-app purchases for Picky Peach and Greedy Grapes, but I have no idea what they're for.
I was going to ask you what those were.
There are no in-app purchases. It's just for as a joke, I guess.
I wonder if that gets you more recipes each day than the three.
It doesn't say.
Yeah,
but it's a really well done app. I mean, I think overall, I'm going to try it some more in terms of the recipes.
So do you cook yourself?
I do a lot.
Okay.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
This is kind of ironic, but this week, I've been thinking about it. I finally took the plunge and signed up for one of those. For like Blue Apron, and then I also signed up for Plated.
Oh, yeah.
Those two, and I'm going to try each one out and see which one I like best. But if for anything else, it's just for the recipes.
Yeah,
because if you get something you really like, you now have the recipes and you can do it yourself. But it just kind of freshens things up as far as the meals go. But this is awesome. I'm getting this. I'm downloading this app right now.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yep. Captain Cook recipes.
Very neat app.
Great. All right, Chris, what do you got?
So mine's a little different. Not a cool, fun name, but it's something that's kind of useful. The name of the app is actually called Sales Tax and Discounts. Calculate taxes and discounts, obviously. So it is by the developer, just so everyone knows, is Rome Rock LLC. And it's kind of useful when you have when you go into a store and there's a 33% off sale and you want to calculate that as well as use a sales tax. The neat thing about it, though, is I'll get to in a minute, is it kind of can use your location to automatically populate the sales tax, or you can pick a location to put the tax in. But basically, there's a home screen where you put the list price in, and then you can put the percentage of discount. And then there's this where you enter it manually, but then there's a tax entry. And what you can do is go to the tax library. So if I hit the tax library, you can type in, let's say Houston, Texas. You say Houston. And it'll tell you, you know, it looks like there's three different taxes in Houston for some reason. Sales tax looks like it may be some other cities in the local area.
8.25 should be the main one for Texas.
That is. It says 8.25. But then you can go into Canada, and basically every country is listed here. So it must have an incredible database of taxes, or they're just making them up. But for example, Croatia, 25%.
Oh, my goodness.
Cuba, 20% tax.
Wow.
You know, Belgium, 21% tax. But long story short, you can, let's say the list price of something is $59.99 and you have a 25% discount and you're in Knoxville, Tennessee, so 9.25 is your tax because we don't have a state tax like Texas.
Gotcha.
And you hit done, so you know the price is going to be $50.54, where you're getting a $15 discount and you're getting tax of $5.54. So basically takes those two factors in consideration to calculate how much you're going to pay for something. So, you know, if you're in Kohl's, when they, you know, basically Kohl's has sales all the time, and you just want to do a quick calculation of, hey, right, how much will this cost? This app will do that. The cool thing is the screen that you see on your phone is the exact screen you see on your watch. The only issue is it is small font, but you can make it work. You can make it work. So again, on the watch, you hit list price and a keyboard comes up. I'll put $59.99. Well, I didn't. I hit $5,999. $59.99. Hit OK. Hit the discount. And you can actually store discounts on the watch. You can put a whole bunch of discounts in there and then just select one. So I have one that's 25% already in there. And then same with tax. You can store taxes. So I put 9.25, hit OK, and it calculates $44.99. So funny, it's about 50 cents difference on the watch. And I just noticed that there's a 50 cent different calculation on the phone and the watch.
It's the watch tax. I'm sorry, it's
the watch tax, but it gives you the same number, so you can actually use your watch's little calculator to figure out how much something's going to cost with a discount or a tax. So if you get off the cruise ship in one of the Caribbean islands and you're negotiating with someone and say, hey, give me 40% off of that, and they're going to say, yeah, but you still pay the 10% tax, you can do the math. So it's a fun little app. And then, like I said, I liked it because the watch app uses the exact same interface and look and feel as the phone app. You can get on the phone, you can do three languages in here. So I guess that on the watch, it doesn't – I don't know if it does languages on the watch, but it definitely does different languages on your phone. You can do English, Spanish, or French. And it is a free app with ads, and you can donate a certain amount of money. And obviously, you'll get rid of the ads. I'm trying to see if there's anything else on here. And of course, change themes and colors, but that's no big deal. But actually, it's pretty cool. So nice. It's actually, you know, like I said, it is called Sales, Tax, and Discounts.
So the in-app purchase is for ads. Excuse me. Right? The in-app purchase is to remove the ads, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Because it says offers.
You can do an energy bar, an energy cup, a sandwich, or a dinner. That's 99 cents, $1.99, $4.99, and $9.99. I don't think you get anything different. Maybe just giving more money.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. Still, that's very handy.
It's handy little app, yeah.
Sales, tax, and discounts.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I have I don't have an app review today. I have a band that I want to review. So I was looking for a new sport band since during the summer. I tend to wear my Nike sport band most of the time, and I was looking for kind of a change in look or at least in color. So on Amazon, I found this Nike style sport band in black and red. They call it the name of this. Okay. They call it a sports band for Apple Watch, Jazz, JAZ, which I guess is the name of the company, durable soft silicone replacement sport band iWatch strap. Can we stop it with the iWatch already? It's called the Apple Watch since day one. Exactly. It's never been called the iWatch. They got it right in the first sentence of the description, and then they went into the I word in the second one. Unbelievable. Is that for search, you think?
Probably.
Yeah, it's got to be. Anyway, moving on. I thought that the black and the red band would look nice with the red dot on the crown of the watch, right? So this is the typical Nike-style band with the silver pin connector. And that's the first thing I didn't like, was that the pin or the nipple part of it is silver instead of black. So, you know, it doesn't match as well. And there was no option for that. The band itself feels a little bit thinner than the Nike one.
I have a Sharpie, I can say.
Hey, there you go. Perfect. but the one thing I wasn't prepared for was the length. It came in the super long size. So, for instance, with my Nike Band, I pin it at around the third hole. This one, I have to go to hole 7 to make it fit. And that's a lot of excess band to loop
holy moly
back in. I mean, it's still comfortable, but I would have preferred an option on the length, at least. The band clicks into the side of the watch just fine. No issues there. The fit is pretty good. I mean, for the price of only $9.99, I guess I shouldn't complain too much. I can buy 5 of these for the price of 1 Nike band, right? And get a variety of colors. It comes in 9 or 10 different color choices. But I like the look of the red. I also changed my watch face to match. I use the Nike face, usually in the Volt green that goes with the green band that I got with it. And I changed the numerals to red. But that was too much red, so I made the numerals white. And I left the 4 complications on the face in red, and that looks really nice. So if you're looking for a new Nike band on the cheap, this one is nice but kind of long, unless you've got a bigger wrist, it won't be an issue. So that's my new summer look for now. And I'll put a link in the show notes for all of these. All right, cool. Time to move on. Here we go.
The Apple Watchcast. Listener feedback.
All right, time for listener feedback. First one here is from longtime listener Miles. Says, "Hey guys, happy WWDC. Usually I'd be super excited about installing the new watchOS, but I'm disappointed to tell you that my Series 0 isn't supported, and I won't be able to tell you about all the features Apple didn't mention in the keynote." Sorry about that, Miles. We know from the past you've kept us updated. You have a developer. Developer license, and you usually get the version right away, and you'll let us know what's going on if we have questions. He does say, though, that I do have another fun story. A few weeks ago, my watch felt a little different, and you guessed it, the display came off.
Oh,
I never thought it would happen to me. Apple's been known to replace these for free, but I was kind of worried because the battery didn't look inflated, and there were a couple of dings on the body of the watch. I went to the Apple store and showed the genius, who was nice enough to look past all of that and ship my watch out for repair. 5 days later, I got an email saying that my watch is ready. Another story I had heard was that Apple was running out of Series 0 and was replacing them with Series 1 watches. No such luck. Anyway, thanks for such a great podcast, Miles. Yeah, sorry to hear about that, Miles. I'm glad you got it replaced, but you're still rocking the Series 0. Unfortunately, you just missed out on watchOS 5 there. That would have been a nice little upgrade. Hey, Vincent, is your watch looking like the face is about to come off?
No, but the Apple on the back of the watch has come off.
Really?
The little Apple? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gone.
Well, I think if you kind of pound it against the table a little bit harder, it might come off. Maybe you can get a Series 1 to replace it. No, don't do that.
Ignore what you just heard.
Yeah, we don't encourage, that. That's a joke. Okay. Moving on here. Jonathan says, "Hi, guys. Love the show. Look forward to it every week. Keep up the great content. As part of the watchOS 5 update, was there any mention of expanded use of first-party watch app LTE support, such as Mail? I saw the Mail app would get better at displaying messages, but that was it. If I'm away from my phone with my LTE watch, it's frustrating. I cannot receive any mail. I didn't see any press related to expanded LTE functionality other than the podcast app. I haven't tried Canary Mail yet, but I may have to if there's no immediate plans. Regards, Jonathan." Thank you for your email, Jonathan. I did not. That is you're correct in pointing that out. It's kind of a glaring omission from the keynote and from the follow-up that we know. Apparently, watchOS 5 does not get any more LTE friendly with third-party apps. They're keeping that to themselves at the moment, right?
Hmm.
You know,
I think so. We didn't hear anything about that.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that the podcast app can stream through LTE, but they're not giving that ability to any other podcast apps is going to kill them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those apps aren't going to be able to survive. Why would you do that? Why would you go with one like that? You know, unless you're talking about other versions of the watch. But Yeah, I don't know. They're limiting the podcast third-party apps to the non-LTE watches, basically, by doing this. But they should have opened it up a little bit more. You may want to try Canary Mail, see if it does what you want it to do. Yeah, that's all I got for that one. I hadn't heard anything else, but that's kind of all we have time for this week. I want to thank everybody for all their emails and comments. We love getting them and answering them here on the show. Unfortunately, we always run out of time at the end. Especially thank you for all the audio comments. Keep those coming if you can. We'd love to receive those as well. Send them to comments at applewatchcast.com, and we'll actually play it here on the show. Anything else before we set the watch on the charger? It comes unset and we wake up with a dead battery to end this episode? No? Nothing?
Okay. I think we're good
to go.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, for being here. I really do appreciate it. And thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support this show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. It doesn't cost a lot to subscribe, and it helps us to continue to produce this show. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to some of the stuff we talk about on each and every show can be found on our website, applewatchcast.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, and don't forget to post a review while you're there. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, as I mentioned, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com, and we'll try to read it here on the show. Look for us and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and all the rest. So anyway, have a great week. As always, thanks for listening. Until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes.